Bird's Eye View is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com. BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This is your source for a lack of insight and baseless opinion. It's September 16th, 2013, episode 53. My name is Scott Magnus, and I'm here with the faithful optimist Jake English.
Yeah, I was wondering where you're going with this one.
What can I say? I'm just a little bit disappointed, and I'm a little bit downhearted, but I'm glad people are still following us at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. If you're not following us there, then you're likely following us on the baltimoresportsreport.com/network, even though, you know, there's other great podcasts out there. I mean, we're at the bottom rung. You can look for us on iTunes as well. You can also follow us at other areas such as Miro, Stitcher, Double Twist. Yeah, that's about it. I'm not even going to get into the cold creamsicle joke. And then you can find us at facebook.com/bvcast. Also follow us at Twitter at BirdseyeViewBAL. Yes, that's BirdseyeViewBAL. We're sometimes witty and sarcastic on there. You really should come and follow us. In fact, that's a great area for you to come and mock us and give us negative feedback.
Yeah, I think we'll get to that in a minute. You're really bumming me out here, Scott. Look, it's another week of Orioles baseball. Good or bad, we're going to at least chat about it. We're going to talk through it. It's like the guys at OBP say, take the oath. Scott, I'm going to need you to energize yourself. I'm going to start by asking you, what's your drink of the week?
It's about time you got to that. I mean, I was tired of listening to you talk. My drink of the week is rye whiskey, Rittenhouse rye whiskey, 100 proof, on the rocks. Well, it used to be on the rocks until I started drinking it.
And yeah, my ice maker might be broken.
Yeah, that's going to be a big problem for later tonight. So I'm about three or four shots in, so I'll be pretty much like Gary Thorne by the end of this broadcast.
Oh boy. Well, I'll be like Jim Palmer, and I'll talk about myself a lot, and we'll be set.
Can't you just be Jim Hunter? Because that's really what you're coming off to me as tonight.
I myself am drinking a Loose Cannon IPA from the good folks over at Heavy Seas. And with that, I think it's time for our favorite segment of the week, which is...
We have a favorite segment?
Oh lord. The Brian Roberts Watch. Or as some of you may know it on Twitter, hashtag... The Brian Roberts Watch.
Or the When Does Jonathan Scope Start?
Brian Roberts had we'll call it a meh week. He was 6 for 22. He scored 2 runs. He had a double and an RBI. And outside of that, really not a whole lot going on. He had 5 strikeouts to no walks. Meh. Brian Roberts Watch, a little depressing this week.
I will point out, though, that he did have that RBI single in the ninth inning that almost brought the Orioles back into the lead. Oh! But wait a second. They didn't come back that game.
Is it going to be like this all podcast?
It may be, but honestly...
You were dragging like an anchor tonight.
Yeah, 6 for 22 for Brian Roberts. That's actually not a terrible week for him. That's actually a really good week for him. That's like an MVP all-star week for him.
All right. If you're going to be like this, can I take a walk through the medical wing? Would that be all right?
Sure, go ahead.
I wrote an article this week, I think it was yesterday... detailing the medical wing updates and how that might affect the Orioles' playoff chances. So if you haven't had a chance to go check that out, make sure you hop over to birdseyeviewbaltimore.com.
In summary, not very good.
Man, this is gonna be a rough night. All right, so the medical wing is as follows. Nolan Reimel.
Can I get another glass of whiskey over here?
Yes, but no ice.
Frickin' A.
Nolan Reimel is still out. Where the hell is Steve Pierce? He's where the hell now, rather than who the hell?
Well, he's in Sarasota, from what I hear.
He is in Sarasota. He's begun swinging, and he actually may rejoin the team for the Boston series. They're trying to work that out.
Why?
Well, you can have so many bodies. Why not?
Well, we'll get to that later.
All right. Miguel Gonzalez left his last start in the sixth inning with a groin issue. He has been listed as day-to-day and is in danger of skipping his next start.
And we know a thing or two about groin issues, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, Lord.
But anyway, groin issues are something that don't go away very quickly. This is a long, could be a long-term issue for him. Is he going to miss his next start? Most likely. My big question is, how far does he get? Is he just going to be shut down for the season?
I don't think so. I think the fact that he was, you know, kind of smart about it and said, look, am I going to try to pitch through this? Or, you know, should I just, you know, try to fight the next day? Says to me that he thought it was manageable. Now, of course, the player is always more optimistic than the team. But until we hear something, yeah, I think absolutely. I think that this is also the type of thing that might get used as motivation by the team. You know, oh, we're down Miguel Gonzalez, next man up type of thing. And we haven't heard anything definitive yet. So I'm willing to wait and watch.
You're absolutely right. Nothing rallies the troops like saying, oh, Miguel Gonzalez just went down, even though he was down earlier this season.
Well, it challenges somebody like Jason Hamill to step up.
Okay.
All right. Also in the medical wing, we've got Nate McLouth, who got drilled in the knee the other night, but he should be all right.
Yeah, I don't know. It looked very hurtful, and we'll see what happens. I think it could just be another thing where season ending, but we're going to see how he does and recovers.
Yeah, well, you keep saying it might be a season-ending injury every time, but your optimism is on the ropes here tonight.
Well, that might be the case, but
if we lose Nate McLouth for any sizable period of time, is it a big deal?
Absolutely not. We got Steve Pearce waiting in the wings.
All right, fine. Also, in the medical wing, we've got Bud Norris, who was skipped with some elbow tightness.
Wait, that's the second starting pitcher you just mentioned.
Yes. Oh, it's okay. A theme. Just great. Stick with me. Bud Norris, some elbow tightness. Now, he's going to throw on Tuesday, and if everything goes well, he may actually be in line for a start on either Friday or Saturday.
Okay, so let me get this straight. We just lost two starters, possibly, for the next few starts.
It's very possible.
Okay. Who is going to fill in for their roles?
Who knows? I mean, like I said, Jason Hamill might be one. You might be able to get some spot starts out of guys like Gausman, Steve Johnson.
Zach Britton?
No. And they're still mad at him. Okay. Josh Stinson, your boy Josh Stinson, could get a start.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. And last but certainly not least, you've got Darren O'Day, who's down with the tingly fingers.
Well, I heard, too, that he's only having that issue with breaking balls.
Tingly fingers.
So maybe he should just turn to throw any breaking balls.
Tingly fingers, by the way, sounds like the lamest injury ever.
Tingly fingers? I think it would probably be pretty important if you can't throw your breaking balls.
I'm just saying, like, if you're a major league athlete, a professional athlete, among the world's elites, and you know, a bunch of tough guys, my fingers are tingly.
Well, I mean,
tingly fingers.
I think it's just as serious when Miguel Gonzalez had a callus on his finger and he was out for several games.
All right, fair enough. But Darren O'Day has those tingly fingers. He got a cortisone injection in both the hand as well as the wrist. And he's hoping to rejoin the team this weekend in Tampa. Now, I don't have any idea how ready he'll be or how effective he'll be, but hopefully those fingers won't be a-tingling.
Anybody else in your medical wing?
Nope, that's it.
I've got one honorable mention.
All right, go ahead.
It goes to Wilson Bettermeat.
Cut that meat! Cut that meat! Cut that meat!
As everyone knows, Wilson Bettermeat was designated for assignment today in order to bring Henry Urrutia back onto the 40-man roster.
So is his ego bruised? Is that the medical injury?
I don't know, but Dan Duquette did come out and say he didn't think the individual was completely healthy, so I have to give him, put him on the medical wing. It was nice knowing you, Wilson Bettermeat. Happy trails. Best of luck wherever we see you next time.
Yeah, Wilson Bettermeat, you know, I spent the entire season saying, you know, last year saying he has no place here. I wish he'd be cut. And then he got hurt and it was terrible, you know, bad for him. And when he came back, he just couldn't go. So this is probably the best for everybody. The Orioles probably weren't going to sign him again next year. So, yeah, it was a procedural move.
Not to mention they didn't want to play a playoff share. Oh, wait.
Cut that meat. Cut that meat. All right. So, Scott, without any further ado or an opportunity for you to be a Debbie Downer, I think that we should go into something we haven't done so far this season. I think we need to go and take a look at this week on Twitter.
So, twat?
Yeah, we're going to check our twat. Is that okay. Cool with you?
Yeah. Do I need a scalpel for that or?
No, it's fine. You know.
Okay, so it's more like a dermal irritation.
Okay, so let's check out the twat. We always encourage feedback from our listeners, and it's a weird thing because, You know, if people write in and say we're wonderful, reading compliments seems a little self-serving.
Which we like.
But we're totally okay with reading negative feedback. So if you'll...
just keep it to a minimum.
Regular listeners will know that we always say, hey, if you dislike the show greatly, look, send it in, write it on iTunes, you know, send us an email. Dude, we'll read it on the air. We don't have any pride to work with. But I just want to point out, we're going to run through some stuff here, but this is not... this is not mean-spirited in any way, shape, or form. So we got some tweets from a listener. I'm not going to mention it by names because I'm not trying to drag anybody's name through the mud. But, Scott, I was wondering if you could just do a little dramatic reading of those tweets for us.
Sure. At Birdseye View BAL, podcast is brutal. Unless you like talking about drinks, pants, and taking breaks... #, not sure why this is in my playlist.
All right, that's hurtful. All right, first of all, I love talking about pants and drinks and taking breaks. This is the podcast for me.
Yeah.
Brutal, huh?
If you wanted something about like Arrested Development, you should go listen to the Spastics.
All right, so he's made it clear to us that we're just not his thing.
Seriously, when did we have we talked about pants before?
We've mentioned it from time
have
to time.
Have we?
Yeah.
About pants being off or pants being on? Both?
More the off than the on.
Okay.
All right, what else do we have there? Same individual.
Okay. No offense, but didn't enjoy At Birdseye View BAL pod at all. I'm fine deleting it every week if it helps with clicks, but don't like it.
So this was a direct tweet to the Baltimore Sports Network, is that right?
Baltimore Sports Report Baltimore Sports podcast. Report.
Nice. So this person had said, you know, Birdseye View, you're terrible. You're brutal, in his words. And then went further to make sure that the Baltimore Sports Report podcast knew how they felt about us as well. I find that to be thorough. I appreciate that.
I think it's actually faithful and completely accurate. I think we are absolutely brutal, and I think we are not enjoyable, and there is no offense taken, good sir.
So we reached out and said, hey, you know, we're not for everybody. That you sound like you like fun.
In fact, we're for a very few select people based off our audience.
It's a niche, if you will. No, but we reached out and we're like, hey, you know, not for everybody, but thanks for the feedback, and thanks for listening to the Baltimore Sports Report. And it was cool because we actually had, like, an adult conversation with this person, and it wasn't a pissing contest.
It was an adult conversation on the internet.
Wow. Wow. But the point that I want to make here...
This is WNST.
Stop it. The point that I want to make here is that that's okay. And that there's room for lots of different kinds of people in the big tent of Orioles fandom. And that's what we love about the Baltimore Sports Report Network, is that, hey, if this isn't your thing, there are four other great shows to check out. And, you know, we're big enough boys to be able to handle a little critique. So keep those... hate tweets coming. We absolutely want to hear them. Make sure that you leave comments, good or bad, on iTunes. Comment on the show notes. Let us know. Let us hear it.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay, great. I just want to let you know, at CRob7, if you ever comment negative to me, I will stab you in the eyes. I will break this bottle over your head and then stab you in the eyes. Do you understand me? You're dead to me. Dead!
Okay, I think that went well.
I got it off my chest now.
All right. That was not the only great tweet we got this week. Now, last week, as we were, I believe as we were asking for feedback, you off the cuff said, and by the way, make sure it's in form of...
A limerick.
Okay. That was one of the dumber things you've said, like on microphone. That's up there.
I'm not so sure about that. I think it might have been one of the greatest things we've ever said, because in tail, we got a limerick sent to us.
All right. I'm waiting in anticipation. Lay this limerick on me.
Okay, this is from @BirdTerrifier. So I recommend everyone go and follow @BirdTerrifier, because hell, maybe you'll get a limerick by you following this individual.
Yeah, if you're a great fan of poetry, this is the guy to follow. Okay, lay it on me.
All right. There once was a man named Jake English.
Oh my.
His pride recently extinguished. Though he pleads for good cheers, they but fall on deaf ears. Elimination column, a death rattle of the vanquished.
Okay. This is an onion. There are lots of layers here. First, what exactly was that accent?
It was supposed to be Irish.
Okay. All right, I'm going to let that slide for the moment.
I'm going to drink that.
Can we do as much of that accent for the rest of the show as possible?
Oh, of course. We can do that any moment now.
We're looking for our lucky charms.
That's right.
All right. That's terrible. Second, thank you. Thank you.
Stab you in the face.
Thank you so much for the limerick. Not only was I in shock that you said it, but I'm even more in shock that we got some limericks. Loving the limerick, not understanding the limerick. So, tweeter, please get back to us with a literary breakdown. I need to understand exactly. Are you mocking us? I'm not really sure what's going on there. Love, by the way, that you went for the tough rhyme of English over Magnus, because I feel like Magnus had a lot of more rhyming potential. But why exactly...
Sagnus. Hagnus.
All right, shush. But why exactly...
Saggy Hagnus.
Shh. Is my pride vanquished? That's...
Extinguished.
Extinguished? Okay. Yeah. Why is my pride extinguished? This is what I need to know. So,
reach out. It's because you're working with me.
Tonight, yes, my pride is extinguished. So, thanks. A wonderful tweet. We love it. Mocking or not, it's just what we asked for. Scott. So keep those limericks coming. We will certainly read them on the air.
Haiku, iambic pentameter, whatever you can bring to us, we'll read it on the air.
All right. A few other notes for the twat. You know, there's some interesting swap now. I guess that's twat swap. Of Orioles and...
Bump, chicken, womp, womp.
Orioles and Baltimore sports feeds now getting some Ravens updates. And, you know, it's becoming that time of year, and so I just noticed that, you know, we're seeing some more football-related updates, and, you know, I'm a big football fan, so I'm all for it. Thoughts?
Yeah, it's football season.
All right. Also, one last thing that we wanted to note is that, you know, we had some current events break in and kind of sneak into our sports feeds. And we just wanted to mention the news that we got about the Navy Yard today. Obviously, our thoughts are with everyone who's affected. But it's kind of those interesting moments in our national history where it just kind of breaks into that sheltered space, even on Twitter, that we have for, you know, stupid jokes about the Orioles and limericks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sad, sad event, especially since it didn't occur a little bit closer to National Park and it didn't take Bryce Harper out in the side fire.
Wow. Wow. So I have like this little sincere Twitter moment, and then you went there.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, I'm going to need to take a step back and recover. In the meantime, why don't we...
Refresh my drink.
I'm not going to say take a break, because I'm not allowed to do that anymore.
But refresh my drink.
Let's have you refresh your drink. Maybe there will be some ice.
Yeah, hopefully by now. It better be. I'm sending you to the store and get some ice.
Then we'll come back and we'll take a good look at things.
All right, let's get going. Come on, chop chop.
And we're back to the Beatles, and well, we're not so much looking through you, but rather we wanted to look through the looking glass. We
wanted to through you is like the Orioles, right? That's the metaphor you're going for?
We wanted to take a look back and a look forward. And taking a look back, we want to look back over the last, let's call it a month, since September 16th. That's, the last 31 games in which the Orioles have been, we'll call it unimpressive. They've been 15-16 over the last 31 games, and they've done it in stunning failure. They won 2 out of 3 against the Rockies, and then they went on to lose a series 1 out of 3 against the Rays. They took a series from the Athletics, winning 2 of 3. Then they dropped 3 consecutive series, losing 2 of 3 to the Red Sox, 2 of 3 to the Yankees, 2 of 3 to the Indians, before taking 3 of 4 from the White Sox, but then losing 3 of 4 to the Yankees, and then most recently taking 2 of 3 from Toronto. Not good.
Whoopity-doo.
The thing that's most frustrating about that is that we seem to be playing mostly teams that matter in the playoff race, and we haven't been faring well. You know, and throughout all that, I don't understand, but our playoff hopes are still alive. And they're still right there in the thick of things, when it seems like they should just be falling completely out of contention.
Are they really in the thick of things?
I would say so. I would say with, what are they, 2.5 games out at this point?
They're 2.5 games out.
At 2.5 games out with 16 games left on the schedule.
Is that right? I thought it was 13 or something.
Maybe it's 13 games on the schedule. I think with that few games back, you have to still consider them in the hunt, because not only are they 2.5 back from the second wild card position, they're also 2.5 games back from the first wild card position. And so it's not unlikely that one of those teams will falter. And again, they have to overtake the Cleveland Indians, which is no small feat because the Indians have the weaker schedule. There's no reason to think that the Orioles should win, because I've just given you 31 games worth of poor performance to say, no, they're really not a winning team. But it's baseball, and weird things happen in baseball, and the wrong team gets hot at the right time more often than you'd think. So is it likely to happen? No, I'm not saying that you should start, you know, making your playoff plans right now. What I'm saying is that they're not eliminated at this point, and they still have a shot. They're still in the race. They're still relevant. All right, Debbie Downer, take it away.
I'm sorry, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. The fact of the matter is Texas and the Rays are both ahead of us. The Rays have been on this recent skid, and so have the Rangers, and I just don't see them continuing that skid throughout the rest of the season. I think things are eventually going to change, and they're going to start to at least play 500 baseball. And if they play 500 baseball, I just don't see the Orioles catching up to them. Not to mention, like you already said, the Indians are right there and poised to take one of those wild card positions, which I'll point out that I was an individual that picked the Cleveland Indians to get a wild card position at the beginning of the season. But the fact of the matter is the Indians play Houston and the White Sox and the Royals. So they have it tailor-made to get that playoff position. And it's really a travesty in all things considering, because you look at when the Orioles played the Indians that series and they had 9,000 people in the stands. I mean, that's horrible. Absolutely horrible. Cleveland, you deserve to have your team moved out of there and be taken to another city.
Easy, Chief. Easy. That wound is still a little bit open.
Okay. 14-6, by the way. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the season, I think the Orioles are looking from the outside in. I think they're looking up at Cleveland and either Tampa Bay or the Rangers for that wild card position.
Or both.
Or both. But I really think it's either going to be Tampa Bay or the Rangers for that wild card position, and Cleveland's going to be right there. And the Orioles have not put themselves in a good position, even if they were to tie with Cleveland, because they've lost the series with them for the entire season. Pitching Zach Britton and that pivotal game of the seventh game of that season series could come back and cost the Orioles if they get into a tiebreaker game with the Cleveland Indians.
Absolutely.
And the Orioles have not done any better against other great teams like Tampa Bay and the Rangers. So shame on you, Baltimore Orioles. You've had your chances, but you haven't capitalized on them. Not like you did last year.
It's true. At this point, we could go point counterpoint on, well, I hope it'll happen, and the other person saying, well, it's not likely to happen. But the point is, it's fruitless. You're absolutely right in the fact that the Orioles haven't gotten it done. But I would argue with you in saying they haven't put themselves in a position to be in the conversation, because like it or not, and for the last 31 games, I haven't liked it very much, but they're still only 2.5 games back. They are in the position to make a run. Okay. Now, whether or not they do it is a completely different thing, but they are in the position.
All right, so let me ask you this question. We're 2.5 games back. It's a Monday night, and Tampa Bay and Texas are playing a 4-game series with the Orioles off tonight. So regardless of what happens, the Orioles are going to gain ground on the wild card.
Yes.
Who are we rooting for in that 4-game series?
Doesn't matter. And I say it doesn't matter for two reasons. One, let's look at the scenarios. Let's say they take a split, right?
Okay.
They take a split, we get that much closer to everybody. Assuming, of course, we handle our business.
That's a big if.
Okay. Let's say one sweeps the other. That pushes the other team completely out of the position. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, to a certain degree.
So, again, it doesn't really matter. We're going to get closer no matter what if we continue to win. And if we don't continue to win, then we don't deserve a chance anyway, right?
I kind of agree with that. My other point that I think we should discuss, though, is the Orioles are going into a 4-game series with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Yes, I'm going to call them the Devil Rays. Within the next four... in this weekend for 4 games. And my question is, wouldn't it be better to be closer to the Rays than it would be the Rangers?
At this point, we don't have the luxury of you know, who we'd rather have. We just need to get closer while other people fall away. And I don't think it really matters what formula that happens. All the Orioles can control, and let me, you know, do my best John Harbaugh here. All the Orioles can control is their own business. And if they continue to win games, the rest of it will unfold as it's supposed to.
Yeah, I still come back to the fact of the matter is the Orioles have controlled their own destiny. Losing 3-4 to the Yankees is a death knell. Speaking of that, you were at that fourth game. Would you like to account your experience at that game?
Not really. Let me tell you, that was one of the worst fan experiences I've had.
Wait a second.
I've been to a lot of bad games.
You were at the 30-3 Texas Rangers game, right?
Yes.
Was it worse than that?
It was worse than that.
Wow.
Because the thing about the Rangers game is that the Orioles were terrible anyway, and so there was no expectation of anything. And then after a while, I mean, you actually, you know, started to root for history at that point. Because, I mean, after the, you know, third Grand Slam or whatever, you were like, sure, why not? Why not? Why wouldn't that happen? But with this, you know, things were starting to hurt because the games mattered. And it was awful because nobody was there. You know, we've talked about Cleveland, ha ha ha, 9,000 people in the stands. But people are not going to these Oriole games. And I've chided them, and I've chided them. And so I went on that evening, and, you know, now you can tell why people don't go. Because let me tell you, Yankees fans are like cockroaches, and they come out whenever the lights turn on. And it was terrible because...
They even look like cockroaches.
There were... We had pretty good seats. We sat out in left field, two rows back, in the second row, and we
that's
were
prime
in,
Yankees territory.
We were in a section.
Well, the first row it actually normally
just
is
just covered in Yankees fans. It was terrible, and so they were chanting and they were, you know, being loud, and I was pretty sure my wife was going to leave me because there's one guy who was like yelling out the score, and at that point it was 2-0, and I was really proud of him because being a Yankees fan. And being able to count to 2, I was like, wow, sir, you have got it all together. So I applauded him, and I encouraged him for being able to count. And every time he did it, I let him know how proud of him I was, that he had worked on that so hard. So, you know, there's a little bit of heckling going on back and forth. That guy ended up getting thrown out of the game, which unfortunately was the highlight of my evening. The worst thing, though, was that there was this guy sitting next to me, and he was a pretty decent guy. He was a Yankees fan. He had an ugly beard, but I'm going to let that
slide.
Pardon
me? Pretty decent guy, Yankees fan?
Yeah, yeah. Ugly beard, but I'm going to let that slide. Anyway, so, you know, he had been pretty quiet all night. We had had, you know, exchanged a couple of remarks, and he seemed like a decent guy. Until the ninth inning, okay? The Orioles come in. It's a tie ball game. Jim Johnson is in, and the guy starts screaming, "They're going to blow it! I've seen this guy blow plenty of games!" And he starts recounting the last game he was at where Jim Johnson blew a game. And all I could think was, "Dear God, Orioles, please. please don't let this happen. Please don't do this to me. I can't have this happen. And so, sure enough, Jim Johnson came in and unraveled. And the worst part was, is that this guy was right. And the thing, if you're in an opposing stadium, I don't mind you cheering for your team. Just don't be a douche. If there's any fan base on the planet that deserves a generation of losing, it's the New York Yankees for their sheer arrogance. And the worst part was that in this case, the arrogance came true. The other funny thing about this guy, the douchebag sitting next to me with the ugly beard that I'm going to let slide.
You say he's a pretty good guy, though.
I said that before I started talking about that.
Okay.
He had been a pretty good guy. Anyway, the first inning rolls around, and Brett Gardner got hurt, and he got lifted. And there was no announcement made. It was just Granderson took over in center. And I turned to him, and I was like, who's 14? He said, Granderson. Okay, Granderson's in the game. So he goes to his phone, right? He looks at it for a second, and he turns to his wife or girlfriend or whatever and says, I've checked ESPN, and there's no mention of what happened to Gardner. And then he put his phone back in his pocket. Like, if it's not on ESPN, there's no way I can find out about the Yankees. I thought that was kind of a funny thing. You know, Baltimore is the 18th largest media market in the country. I can think of at least five websites I would go to, including, by the way,
BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
And BirdsEyeViewBaltimore.com.
Well, go to BaltimoreSportsReport.com now.
I can think of at least five websites I could go to get information on the Orioles. This guy,
BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
His only experience is, well, I don't have to go any further than ESPN.
It's because he doesn't have the benefit of going to BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
I just thought it was funny. Like, what a world he lives in when the four-letter network covers his team so closely that he feels like he doesn't have to know any other way to get information.
That's why you need to go to the BSRN network. Yes, that's right. BSRN.
All right. So that is my recounting of the Yankees game. It was terrible. I sat there, and Sarah had to leave early because we had childcare issues. So I sat there through the last three innings by myself. Now, it was great when Danny Valencia hit that home run to tie up the ball game. Finally, the hometown crowd had something to be excited about because it had been all Yankees before that. But that just made it hurt that much worse when he blew it.
It's pretty much probably the same way I felt coming back from ALDS game number one, where I chucked my backpack right into the middle of Martin Luther King Boulevard.
Yeah. I didn't have anything to chuck.
Yeah, that was also after I found out my car was locked up in a garage.
Nice.
Yeah.
I actually waited until they kicked me out of the section so that I wouldn't have to mingle with as many Yankees fans as possible.
So they escorted you out of the stadium, basically?
Yeah. But a little bit later than that other guy.
Gotcha. But it was, all right, sir, it's time to go.
Yeah. So, hey, looking back, kind of a sad story. But all we can do from here is look ahead.
I tend to agree with that. The one thing I want to focus on, too, is, and I want to go back to your experience with having numerous Yankees fans in there. And my question is, where are the Orioles fans? Where are the Orioles fans? I was watching highlights of last year's September 6th game and just watching highlights for that whole series, and there were Orioles fans galore. Not just for that September 6th game, but that September 7th, 8th, and 9th game.
Let's be fair. All right, and I know where you're going with this. And I agree with you, but let's play this out. The Orioles crescendoed last year. You know, they kept going up and up and up and up. You know, they kept winning. And every chance that we thought, well, this is when they're going to blow it, they didn't. Instead, they won the series, or they salvaged the homestand, or whatever it was. And they kept surprising us by winning. And the fan support built. Also, the Orioles started discounting tickets. Let's not forget that.
That's a big deal.
In the Tampa series. They also were giving crap away, like the Cal Ripken statue. That explains September 6th. But remember, that Yankees series, decided who had first place in September in the AL East. People couldn't stay away from that. Now let's go to 2013. The Orioles are floundering. And they're floundering in the way I just described, going less than 500 in the last month of play, falling further and further out of the AL East, where that isn't even a chance, and failing to really make an impact in the wild card race. So let me ask you, Scott, as a fan, isn't there something to be said for, I don't want to go and sit with the cockroaches and pinstripes and have them taunt me in my own stadium while we have incredibly crushing losses?
No.
All right. After having sat through one of those losses, I can understand why people would stay away.
No. See, that's your problem is... if I was there with you, you would have been a more belligerent asshole, and you were held back to a certain degree. The fact of the matter is, I would immediately pulled out my phone and been like, this Yankees fan behind me just called me a Jew-loving muff diver. And that individual got kicked out.
All right. That's clearly what I should have done.
Yeah. So you just, next time, just lie. Just lie.
All right. You win.
Yeah.
You win the internet. All right. Are we good on
either that or every single time a Yankee fan comes in, they have to wear a piece of flair.
Okay. So looking ahead.
Well, hold up a second. I want to go back to PR really quickly. And the fact of the matter is, the Orioles PR has taken a dramatic step backwards for me. There is no PR going on with the Baltimore Orioles right now. The fact of the matter is, there has been no discounted ticket programs. There has been no incentive, really, to get out to the yard and support this team. There has been no buckle-up fan fest where people are going out and they're having rallies throughout town. There just really isn't a lot of talk about the Baltimore Orioles right now, even though, like you said, they're kind of still in it.
Despite their own best efforts, they're still in it.
The fact of the matter is, there are many people that are coming up to me and asking me the question of, how far are the Orioles out right now? What's going on with the Orioles? You know, I haven't heard recently from them. The Orioles are doing a terrible job of media management, but also PR. The fact of the matter is, the Orioles should be getting out there and exemplifying, saying, hey, the Ravens played on Thursday night and they got crushed. We've got this entire week here to bring people out to the yard, and look, we haven't done anything. Especially after all the negative publicity they got from the NFL, which, again, I think we both agreed that was justly undue.
Bush League.
But the Orioles had a chance to go out there and get some more fans back, and they didn't do so. I also thought it was funny that on Monday night's game against the Yankees, they drew 17,000, the same number that they drew for the White Sox game the previous Thursday as well.
All right. I agree with you. I agree with you that the Orioles have continued to be inept in their PR and marketing. Okay? Can I at least get credit for saying I agree that that is a true fact?
Okay.
However, let me just play devil's advocate. Look at it from the Orioles' perspective. Last year, you have 14 years of losing. You get to the end of the year. You're actually in contention. You're going to start getting some national attention. Let's put some asses in the seats. All right? Okay. In year two of the winning, you have a team that's doing well, and whether we choose to accept that barometer, that bar of doing well versus not, they're doing well in the club's view. They're still in the playoff hunt. Based on a playoff berth, why wouldn't you expect your fan base to come back?
I think it's the aspect of you always have to go out there and actively promote your team.
All right, I agree. And I would love to see discounted ticket prices. Believe me, I love getting discounted tickets.
They have done discounted ticket prices with this whole $10 donation.
Okay, but I'm saying from the club standpoint, I can at least understand last year going through the you know throwback pricing to this year saying, come on guys, throw us a bone. You should be showing up because we're a good team now.
Okay, I'm gonna stop really quickly here. We've gone through the entire season, and it's gonna end within the next 2 weeks. And there really has been no mention of the 1983 Orioles.
Okay.
It's the 30th anniversary. Sure. Why has there been no mention of the 1983 Orioles?
Well, they did that for the floppy hat.
Congratulations. Right? You gave away a floppy hat and really didn't mention it past that point.
You're right. You're 100%
right. I mean, if you have the opportunity to get Rick Dempsey in the spotlight, he is going to jump all over that. How can the Orioles be missing this opportunity? The fact of the matter is, you could have Cal come back, you could have Dempsey come back, you could have Murray come back.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And the Orioles squandered an opportunity to go ahead and do this. Instead, let's just go place a ball at the mound by itself because there's no way that we can give a fitting tribute. It is just laziness by the Orioles.
All right.
Laziness.
You're right. They do a very poor job of marketing themselves.
So Orioles PR, you're on notice. If you don't get things together, I'm going to take a bottle, I'm going to smash it across your head, and I'm going to...
I think you should write them a limerick. And I think you should read it in a faux Irish accent and send them the sound.
I can do that.
All right, that's what I like to hear.
We'll do that next week.
Yeah. All right. Can we look ahead now?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. So there are still...
Doom!
There are still some games to be played, and somehow, in some way, the Orioles are still at least remotely... in the playoff race.
Look, sort of, kind of, not really.
we both agree it's not likely, but the numbers are undeniable, right? They have a chance.
I guess if everyone else were to just shit the bed, it's a possibility.
Hey, that is a possibility.
If Houston was all of a sudden to get really good, I guess it's a possibility.
So we have 13 games left. They are all against the AL East. And I feel like we said this last week. If you win those games against the AL East, you deserve to be there. If you lose all those games, you didn't really deserve to be there anyway. And I think that's really where the Orioles are. You know, if they go out and they get swept by Boston, if they go and they lose 3 or 4 games to Tampa, well, shame on them. They didn't deserve a playoff race anyway. But if they get there and they steal one of those series, and then, you know, what if we win 2 out of 3 against Boston and split against Tampa and do well against Toronto and then come into that last series against Boston, you know, with a chance to play for something? If they take 2 or 3 or sweep the Boston Red Sox to make a playoff berth, you have a team that's coming in hot. Now, again, unlikely. But if that were to happen, you can say, okay, this is a team that did everything that it had to do to make the playoffs.
Okay, that's fine. I just think it's highly unlikely that the rest of the teams are going to shit the bed and the Orioles are going to...
Sure it is. Of course it's highly unlikely. But let me ask you something. In previous years, wouldn't we have killed for this opportunity?
We would have. I would also point out the Orioles have been won more than 5 games in a row this whole season.
Okay, but again, wouldn't we have killed for this opportunity to watch this part of the season? 13 games left, 2.5 games out. Let's see what happens.
So you're saying, why not see what happens and let's hope for the best?
Yes, the opportunity is to be defeatist about it now, or the other alternative is to be defeatist about it now.
All I'm saying is, I'm going to watch, but I'm going to get drunk in the process.
I don't think those are mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
You're not giving me enough credit.
Okay.
Let me just say this. Last week, we said, no excuses time, right?
I got a lot of excuses, though.
This week, no excuses. If you give away at bats, if you give away outs,
blown saves,
if you give away games, your playoff hopes are gone.
Yeah.
And when we meet again next week and talk about how they did, if they've done those 3 things, giving away at bats and outs and games, they're done.
You're going to be drunk just like me.
They're going to be Dunsky. I think I will be somewhat rosier. Either that or I will fall even farther into the darkness.
Yeah, I think you're going to fall very far into the darkness. I've seen you enter the dark zone with the Orioles before.
All right. Well, that is it. We are there at the looking glass. We can peer in. We can see exactly how the next week will go. And with that, I think we should see who's gloating this week.
All right, we'll be right back.
We're not taking a break.
When it comes to twisting, I just got to keep insisting. Oh, baby, you sure do swing.
When it comes to twisting, I just got to keep insisting. Oh, daddy, you are the king.
Baby, you've got me beat up and down, inside out and across. Oh, yeah.
But in the middle of the night, when the moon is shining bright, you're the boss.
Yes, it's that time for Fantasy Boss. Fantasy Boss is brought to you by FanDuel.com, by the way. Go to FanDuel.com and you can sponsor yourself for weekly fantasy contests. Go there, make yourself some money, because obviously, by the way, me and Jake play fantasy football. We know nothing about fantasy football. So going to fantasy baseball now, well, we still know nothing.
Did I just hear Elvis?
Yeah, you heard Elvis.
Oh.
The streak continues. 6-4. The comeback is alive.
Now, if the Orioles can in any way channel this comeback that you're putting together, we'll be in good shape.
So just as an FYI, O's swing percentage this week, you picked Adam Jones. He had a 48.8% O's swing, which was 5th on the team. But Michael Morris had a 57.1% O's swing and has been absolutely horrific at the plate. No hits. No hits.
But how is his O's swing?
Oh, well, absolutely horrible. He's swinging out of the strike zone and everything. So, yes, he's absolutely horrible.
Sir, are you telling me that you won again?
Yes, I'm telling you I won again.
Now, at some point I challenged you and said that you would have to run the table
yes
to make an impact in Fantasy Boss. Scott, do you have enough weeks left to catch up?
If I win this week and I win next week, then yes, I do have enough weeks to catch up.
Let me tell you something. If that happens, I will be incredibly pissed, but I will also be incredibly impressed.
Okay. So I get to pick the category then again this week, right?
That is how that works.
Okay. I'm going to go with WPA.
All right, WPA. Why don't you tell me what the hell WPA is?
That would be win probability added.
Oh, Jesus. This is a stupid statistic. How does this statistic work?
Well, basically, it looks at how much you increase the team's chance of winning the game.
And what factors do they take into account?
Well, they're looking at certain situations like if your team is up by 8-1 and you hit a home run, it doesn't mean that you're going to get any win probability added.
Okay, but if you're down 2-1 and you hit a 3-run home run, your WPA explodes?
Correct.
All right, does it work for pitchers?
Yes, it does.
All right, so if you come in, if you're TJ McFarland,
yes,
and you come in and get some work and the Orioles are up by 5 runs, your WPA is nothing.
That's correct.
But if you're Tommy Hunter and you come in a tie ball game and you get 2 outs with the bases loaded, your WPA is through the roof.
Correct. Now, not to the certain extent that it is hitter, so I will give you that. So you're going to want to probably pick a hitter.
All right, so win probability is in the venue of hitters more than it is in pitchers.
More so than yes. I mean, you can generally lose a lot of win probability added, more so than gain positive win probability added.
Okay, that's crap, but I'm going to let that go. So you're asking me to pick which batter I think is going to have more to do with wins than the others?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, I feel like at this point it's just the usual suspects. The obvious choice, I think, would be Chris Davis.
Okay.
Because he comes in those big moments and he hits the home run. It's dramatic. I'm going to go with Adam Jones.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Adam Jones because I feel like Adam Jones does more for the team. He hits the home runs.
Okay.
He hits the extra, you know, extra bases. He's also always in the middle of the lineup, 3, 4, what have you. I would say he's the heart and soul of the offense, even though Chris Davis is having a monster season. So I'm going to go with Adam Jones for WPA.
Chris Davis.
Okay.
Mark it down, 6-5.
All right.
Do you want me to just go through the season stats for WPA?
I would love to hear what the whoopa is, for the season.
All right, well, let me pull that up really quickly. And I will.
This, by the way, is a voodoo stat.
I disagree entirely. This is sabermetrics at its finest.
Yeah, like I said, this is a voodoo stat. We just said the same thing.
Okay, would you like to know what the whoopa is for the season?
Lay it on me.
Okay, so the whoopa for the season, Chris Davis, 7.54.
Okay.
Adam Jones, 2.88.
Well.
Do you know who's number third right now in whoopa?
3?
Yeah.
Is it Manny Machado?
No. He's 4.
Okay. So it wasn't crazy off.
No.
Who is it?
Danny Valencia.
Oh, that's actually... That makes sense because he's had fewer at-bats.
He's had fewer at-bats.
He's contributed more. He's made more of his at-bats is what right. That stat says.
But also, it also indicates, too, that you're right. He has had fewer at-bats where he hasn't been as clutch. So he's been a very clutch performer. Mm. So, for example, he gets up there as Matt Wieters and strikes out with the bases loaded. His whoopa goes way down.
So you're telling me that WPA for Danny Valencia is the story of small sample size?
He may be small, but he's red hot.
Okay. I'm just going to go on record. This stat is stupid.
Okay.
All right. You with me on that one?
Not really, but go ahead.
What was Chris Davis's number?
7.21.
Okay. He has 130 RBIs, right?
Yes.
How many RBIs does Adam Jones have? 100 what, plus.
103, 104, yeah.
Okay. So you're telling me that the difference in, you know, 30 RBI is 5 that's WPA points?
That doesn't mean anything.
It's no, it doesn't.
It does mean the fact that Chris Davis has been a lot more clutch in being able to get home runs when the Orioles absolutely needed it. Whereas Adam
Jones... It's not just home runs, it's driving in runs.
Well, I realize that, but it's been a lot more clutch. For example, that one game that we were up against the Royals and Adam Jones hit the 3-run homer and then you went above me in Fantasy Boss. that's a clear example of that he didn't really need to hit that home run. It was just insurance runs at that point. But there was no win probability added.
Oh, because Chris Davis has never hit a home run in an unclutch situation.
No.
Or driven in runs. That's never happened.
He has, but not to the state that Adam Jones has. So that's why there's such a discrepancy right now.
See, this stat makes it appear that Adam Jones's impact in the lineup has been negligible. Who else is in a 2-whatever WPA for the Orioles this season?
Nobody.
Okay. So everybody else's WPA is
less
like
than two.
Okay. How much less than two? Is it drastic?
Yeah, it gets pretty bad. It's 1.44 for Danny Valencia, 0.61 for Manny Machado, 0.59
Okay,
for...
so Manny Machado is a 0.61.
Yes.
And then the next biggest jump after Danny Valencia is Adam Jones with 2-whatever?
Yes.
Okay. This stat is stupid. All right, this stat is stupid. I'm just throwing that out there. Stupid okay. stat.
What can I say? If you're not going to admit to, fully proven stats, I understand completely.
Yeah, fully proven my ass. This is stupid.
You should know, too, that Chris Davis has the highest WHOOPA of anybody in Major League Baseball.
Whoopee.
Do you know who number two is?
Is it Miguel Cabrera?
He's number three.
Okay, who's number two?
Paul Goldschmidt.
Okay. All right, I can see that. Look, numbers aren't meaningless, but this is crap. So I'm going to roll with Adam Jones this week. I hope I prove you wrong. You, Brian Kenny, all of your sabermetrician friends, you're going down.
Okay. And just to put it in perspective, too, this is how people rate WHOOPA, is if you are plus two or above, you are above average. If you're plus three or above, you're great. And if you're plus six above, you're excellent.
And so Chris Davis is just orgasmic?
Pretty close to it.
All right. Fair enough. Dong, dong, dong. Yeah.
So take that as you will, but it's a proven stat. What can I say?
So if you win this week, we will be in a dead heat for... Jake wins or we tie, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. I got
unless we go to the playoffs.
You wound me, sir. You wound me. All right. Well, I hope to hear from Brian Setzer next week.
Well, you probably won't, though. All right. Well, with that, I think it's time to move on to my favorite segment, which is the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right. That's right. It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is the weekly segment where we find out who's had a good week, who's had a not so good week, and well, who's put on notice. I'm going to start because I always love to have Scott have the last word, and I'm going to start with my good for the week, which is Nick Markakis. Now we've been beating up Mr. Markakis for the past couple weeks, but let me tell you something. First of all, he had a kid this week. Got to go with the dad, right?
I guess.
He had a kid this week and showed up for work that night. He showed up for work that night and didn't even get into the game. So I'm going to give him credit for that. But for the actual play, Nick Markakis had a pretty good week. He was 8 for 22, which is a .364 average. He also, he displayed some power. He had a double and a home run. Drove in three runs, which ties him for second in the... No, it doesn't tie him for second, but it put him up there. I think it ties him for third for RBIs in the last week. So his slash line is 364, 444, 545, and 990. He was getting it done at the plate, and as always, Nick Markakis brings a solid defense, which I think we're spoiled to. So had a really rough season, but for this week, Nick Markakis was good.
Okay,
who do you have?
My good for the week is Steve Houff.
I'm sorry?
Steve Houff.
Did we sign someone I'm not aware of?
No, my good for the week is Steve Houff. He is the individual that purchased the 50th home run ball of Chris Davis. Now, originally I was going to go with Chris Davis for the 50th home run and basically say congratulations for breaking or tying the Orioles' all-time record. Chris Davis has had a monumental season. 50 home runs, 40 doubles. He's only the third player in Major League history to do it. But the fact of the matter is, getting that 50th ball and entering into that category and the Orioles fan actually going up to the sucker Toronto Blue Jays fan and saying, hey, I'll give you $100 for it, and the Blue Jays fan actually handing it over to him, just goes to further prove how idiotic Canadians are. This is something that could have been a historical ball. This could have been a collector's item. you know, you could at least get a bat out of it. And all this guy got was $100. I mean, that is an act. That's like going up and trading like beads with the Indians for all of North America. Canadians, you are morons. Continue what you do because, man, you're dumb.
All right, now, I'm surprised. You told me you were going to take Chris Davis for your good, so I love the direction you took this. Well done. Well played. Let me ask you, because my wife and I, we talked about this a lot after it happened. Let's put ourselves in the dumb Blue Jays fans
yes.
position, all right? Let's say you're at Camden Yards, and Edward Encarnacion hits his 50th home run, and you catch it. What do you do with that ball?
I'm holding on to it.
Really?
Yeah.
See, because she asked me, she's like, well, I mean, would you let somebody buy it? And I was like, dude, if somebody walked up to me and was like, I'd give you $100, I'll give you a Benjamin for that baseball, I'd be like, here you go.
No way.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I would like to think that I would say something like, no, I'm going to give it to him. And here's the thing. I would probably give it to the player, but I would say to Encarnacion, look, I don't really care about you, so can you go and ask somebody in the other clubhouse if they'll give me some stuff, and then I'll give you the ball, no sweat. Because if I get a signed bat or a ball or, you know, a photo op with one of the Oriole players, dude, I'll hand over that ball. It's fine.
I totally disagree. It depends on the player. If it was a player that I thoroughly enjoy, I would do the same thing you do. If it was a player like Edwin Encarnacion, here's what I would do. So I would take the baseball, I would put it up on a website, and I would put it up for ransom. And basically, I would say that if you want this ball back, you need to contribute X amount of dollars. And if you're not going to contribute X amount of dollars, the ball will be incinerated by this date.
The thing is, though, is that like if it was a significant home run, you know, if it was like his 500th home run or something, yeah, you're holding on to that shit until somebody pays you bank. But if it's just a regular like 50th home run ball, dude, get a sign something, get a photo op, move on.
No, the ball will be incinerated at that point.
Okay.
The website will go up, and it'll be... It's like that one website where it has, like, saving the bunny. It's savetoby.com. It's like, send me money so I can save this bunny, or else I'm going to kill this bunny. It's going to be the same thing with this baseball, basically.
Well, I love where you've taken the good, the bad, the ugly this week. That's a nice off-the-wall pick. Well done.
Thank you. That's what I'm here for.
Absolutely. All right, can I move on to my bad?
Sure, go for it.
All right, my bad for this week is Wei-Yin Chen. Wei-Yin Chen, boy, didn't do me any favors, let me tell you. He looked rough. He looked rough, and he came back, and he settled himself down. But, boy, after he gave up those two runs and then two runs in the next inning, it was just over for him. And Wei-Yin Chen, I mean, he had a 7-plus ERA for the week. He started one game. He went 6.1 innings, but he gave up the 5 earned runs. And that was a crucial game that the Orioles dropped. That's bad. Can't have that. Can't have that late in the season. And frankly, with the rest of the rotation being in a little bit of injury peril, you need solid starts from Wei-Yin Chen. He's not quite unnoticed, but that was bad.
All right. I totally agree with you, but my bad, I think, is more justified, and it's Manny Machado. Manny Machado was 188 with the 188 on-base percentage, which means that he had no walks this week. He had 11 strikeouts, 344 slugging percentage, and a 531 OPS. And the fact of the matter is, he also led the club in terms of at-bats. He had 32 at-bats, mainly because he had no walks as well. But the fact of the matter is, if you're going to bat number two in the lineup, you cannot be that bad at the heart of the lineup. I'm sorry. Manny Machado, you are bad right now at the plate. I love you in the field, but you are bad at the plate. And you need to get focused and realize... You got 2 more weeks to go. I know this has been a long stretch for you. This is really your first long stretch of the season. You've never been through a season this long before, whether it be in the minor leagues or whether it be, you know, in your college career, or actually you need to have a college career, in his high school career. You know, this is the longest he's ever played baseball. So the fact of the matter is, Manny Machado, you're bad. Get it together. You got 2 weeks, or else, no, who knows? Maybe you won't make the team next year.
You know, I love the fact that you brought up the fact that it's a long season for him. I agree. I wonder if he's hitting a wall. You wouldn't know it defensively. I mean, he's just ridiculous. He's just absolutely astounding offensively, but, you know, he is going up against a very long stretch of games for a rookie. It's not just that he's playing the whole season. He's played almost every inning. Outside of that game where he got ejected, he's played every inning.
I also come back to the game where he was very frustrated right before Davis hit that home run. Mm. And the question was, what was he so frustrated with? There was a few comments being made, whether it was catcher's interference. I was told actually by an individual that was actually there at the game that he was actually trying to call timeout. And the umpire did not grant him timeout. And he got really upset at the umpire that he did not grant him timeout. I also heard that the ball hit off his foot. And basically it should have been a foul ball right there and then. Because someone got the ball thrown to them and they had the black shoe polish on it.
Well, I can't imagine a call going against the Orioles this year.
Right. So, Manny Machado, you get my bad. Time to focus, or maybe it's time to ship out next season, at least according to Buck.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to move on to my ugly territory. And look, this has been a long time coming. I got to air this out. Michael Morse, you were ugly. You were ugly. You were acquired because, you know what, we wanted you in the offseason. We didn't get you. We needed a right-handed power bat. We needed a presence in the lineup. And so we gave up Xavier Avery, that future Hall of Famer, Xavier Avery. And what have we gotten? Next to nothing.
Yeah.
And this week, this week, what did you bring to the table, Michael Morse? First of all, let's just say, in your home ballpark at Camden Yards, you are 0 for Camden Yards. You have done absolutely nothing at the ballpark. And this week, you were 0 for 10. 0 for 10. Absurd. Absurd. Michael Morse, you are ugly.
Are you done now?
Oh, pff. That's all there is. He's ugly.
Okay, that's great. But it's an individual that we both were not very thrilled with having on this team when he was first called up. My ugly has to go to Matt Wieters. 158 average, 217 on base percentage, 158, 375 OPS. And the fact of the matter is, Buck is still batting him at the number 5 position.
That's frustrating.
What the heck are you doing, Buck Showalter? This is an individual that has clearly shown that he has the inability to hit in the clutch. He's actually got one of the worst WHIPAs out there right now for the entire team. I know
really?
I know you wanted to know
that. How is his magic stat?
It's not great.
There's no mana?
No, there's no mana.
Okay.
But anyway, Matt Wieters should not be batting in the fifth spot. He should be batting in the seventh or eighth spot because he's not that good. Other individuals should be batting higher than him is like J.J. Hardy. J.J. Hardy has been put in the eighth spot where, you know, he's got 25 home runs. Actually, he's got 26 home runs. Why is he not batting in Matt Wieters' spot? He actually has more home runs than Matt Wieters does.
Danny Valencia should be higher.
Well, I don't know about Danny Valencia. It depends on
right the now, the hot hand, absolutely.
It depends on who's in the lineup, but I could see Danny Valencia being in that fifth spot or even that sixth spot, but there's no reason that Matt Wieters should not be in the seventh or eighth hole at this moment.
Hear, hear. You know what this calls for? A little more hometown boy Steve Clevenger.
Let's not get carried away there.
No? You want to see Chris Snyder instead?
Let's not get carried away with that either.
Okay. So you want to see Wieters just lower in the lineup?
Yes, exactly.
And you'd like to see him start hitting.
Correct. I'm also going to give myself an honorable mention to Jim Johnson, just for you blowing that opportunity on Thursday night. I mean, that was truly ugly.
Yeah.
To exemplify the aspect of really what the Orioles season has been all about this season, which is heartbreak.
It wasn't a blown save, but, you know, the Orioles
I know it wasn't a blown
clawed
save,
their
but
way back, and you just ruined their opportunity to win.
So with that, I'm going to go into the closing thoughts, and I'm going to call this segment Blowing the Save.
I love that. I love it. You know what? Every week, we've got to close out the podcast. Let's blow the save every week.
All right. Let's blow the save. We like blowing things.
All right. Scott.
Too far?
Let's blow this save. Why don't you remind people how to get in touch with the show?
All right. So for individuals that don't know and have lost track of where they currently are because they've been drinking along with us, you should be following us at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com, and you should be following us on the Baltimore Sports Report Network. That's BSRN. You can find everything that you want to know about Orioles and whether they get injured, as opposed to the other four-letter network. Here's where I'm.
Well, can they find us on iTunes?
Sure, they can find us on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere. Just search for birdseyeviewbaltimore.com and you will find us. Go to Google, just type it in, birdseyeviewbaltimore. We don't have shirts like Section 336, but damn, we're sexy without them.
All right, let's continue blowing this save. Quick question for you. What is attendance going to look like moving forward?
Terrible, horrible, except for the Red Sox series, which there'll be a ton of Red Sox fans with.
I wish you were wrong. I wish you were wrong, but I can't tell you that you are.
It's probably going to be 20,000 to 20, 25,000 on average for the Blue Jays series, and I'm guessing it's going to be 35 to 40,000 for the Red Sox series, with 15,000 of those being Red Sox fans.
Ugh. All right, lastly, I have to admit to a mea culpa.
What?
I was wrong.
Well, that's obvious. I mean, you're always wrong.
A few weeks ago, I had a rant about the Orioles and their postseason ticket policy. You know, they had invoiced us for games arbitrarily, and I was pissed about it. But the Orioles are also allowing season ticket holders to buy tickets, specifically the ones they want, starting at a certain point.
Did I try to point that out to you?
This is me telling everyone that I'm wrong. But let's not do that. So, Orioles listeners,
you know that was in the letter that was included with it, right?
I was wrong. I apologize for getting excited. All is right with the world. Thank you.
So maybe next time you have a problem, read the information that's presented to you.
Why would I do that when I could react emotionally?
Okay, that's a fair point.
Thank you. Do you have anything else with which to blow this save?
No, I really don't. I think you've blown me plenty for tonight.
Well, on that fantastic note, I will close and bid you all a fond adieu.
Good night, Baltimore. I am drunk.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.